That's my bodyguard. Does he look tough? He white. That's Gabe. He has a show on my network called the Hake Report. At one time he was my radio producer, now he has his own show. And so he's happy to be here too. You know, I want to say we are at war, and I am totally enjoying this war. It really is a great war. And our battle is a spiritual battle. It's a warfare between good and evil, right versus wrong. It has nothing to do with being a male or female, or black or white, or Chinese or Mexican or Japanese. It has nothing to do with that. It's good versus evil. I was wondering, what is the difference between now and when I was growing up? I grew up in Alabama on a plantation, and I also grew up under the Jim Crow law. And at that time, they had for blacks only, whites only, all kinds of things like that. But one thing that we had going on at that time, black people, for the most part, they got married, they worked hard, they didn't hate anyone, they didn't teach us to hate white people or anyone. They said that there were good and bad in all races, all people. There were good black folks and good white folks and whatever, right? So we didn't grow up hating anyone. We understood that it was a spiritual battle, and that the Jim Crow laws were founded by or started by the Democratic Party, because the Democrats didn't want black people to be a part of his party. And that's why the Republican Party was founded by blacks and whites, because they were not allowed to be a part of the Democratic Party. And so, in growing up, we did not complain about not being able to sit in a white cafe or whatever, right? Because there were white cafes we could sit in if we wanted to. But we had that character. We loved what was right more than anything else. And the men were in charge of the family. You had fathers, mothers, children, and so on. And we were taught to work from day one. So I grew up not hating anyone at all. And then the civil rights movement came along, and you had the so-called civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King, Jesse Jackson, and all those guys. And at that very point, the civil rights leaders turned the black people over to the Democratic Party by making an agreement that if you take care of us, then we'll join your party. And so the Democratic Party said, under Lyndon B. Johnson, okay, we'll take care of you. We'll give you welfare. We will give you everything that you need. But you cannot have a man in the home. You can't have a father in the homes. And for some reason, most black people said okay to that. And so they said, okay, we'll take the welfare and we'll have to kick the man out. And the man agreed to leave. And as a result, the black people became subject to the Democratic Party, because whoever give you free stuff, they also control you. And then the black leaders, the civil rights leaders, became the head of the people. And which meant that black people stopped thinking for themselves. They turned their lives over to the physical being rather than being guided by God, by guided by what is right. Because before the civil rights movement, black people thought for themselves. They didn't have Jesse Jackson or anyone else thinking for themselves. And so they turned their lives over to Martin Luther King and others. And at that very point, they started to use black people for personal gain, to gain power and to gain wealth and to gain whatever they want. And so black people start really just losing it. And the people who were controlling them were doing well in life. They lived in great places. They went to college. They did what they wanted to do. They lived in nice communities. While blacks who have turned their lives over to them, their lives went to hell in a handbasket. And then they told black people, you know what? The white people hate you. This is a racist situation. And blacks believed into that too, because they believed the people who were promoting the lie. And once you believe a lie, it's impossible to believe the truth again. But what really happened in that is that when they turned the wife and children away from the man, they turned them away from God. Because whether we know it or not, believe it or not, accept it or not, there is a spiritual order to that, to life. And that order is God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, and woman over children. And when you turn the children and the wife of, wives against the father, you literally turn them away from God. And that's what they did to black people. They turned them away from the fathers. And when they turned them away from the fathers, they turned them away from God. So most black people no longer believe in God. They sing about him, they shout about him, they hoop and holler about him. But when you really look at their lifestyle, they don't believe in God. They believe in humans and not God. They believe in their false leaders and not God, the men and the women. And that's why things have gotten worse for them. But the enemy of good, which is Satan and his children, they knew that if they could turn them away from that man, that would be it. And as a result, abortion came in. Because when I was growing up, I never heard of abortion. Women had children, even if they thought the children had some type of medical issue, they still had the baby. And if God wanted the baby to live, they would take care of the baby. If God didn't want the baby to live, they would let the, you know, God do his will be done. But they never thought of having abortions. And now, the last report I read, between 12 and 18% of black babies are being aborted. Between 12 and 1800, black babies are being aborted every day. 70% of Planned Parenthood abortion mills are located in the inner cities because the men are not going to stop it. They're no good. They're weak. They can't stop it. And the women are not going to stop it because they can't stop it. They feel like they can't afford to raise children. And so they're having these abortions, and Planned Parenthood is making buku money off killing the black babies. And when you tell black people, no, don't kill your babies, this is the plan of Margaret Sanger, who started the whole abortion thing, and she wanted to get rid of the black people. She called them infidel, what's that word?
Human weeds.
What?
Human
weeds. And she wanted to get rid of them. And so now that is happening every day because the man is not the head of the family. And the man represents God on earth, and the power is in the man. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, right? But if that man has turned away from God as well, he has fear, doubt, worry, insecurity, and all that. I can honestly tell you that I have no fear, none at all. I don't feel brave. It's just that I have no fear because I love God. I love what's right with all my heart, soul, and might, along with nothing else. And I love my neighbor as myself. And so I'm not afraid to deal with these folks. You know, I'm not afraid to deal with them at all. And so that's why I got to tell you this first. So when I was driving here this morning, I live in Los Angeles now, but when I was driving here, it reminded me of Alabama. I'm like, well, I feel at home. When I saw the cornfields and the countryside here, I'm like, I was telling James, I feel at home. And I was telling him about some of the things I used to do as a kid in Alabama. I won't tell you that, because it was dirty. It wasn't good. And so when I got here, I needed to use the bathroom. And they told me, well, the bathroom is outside. Oh, wow, I feel at home again. Because I grew up with the bathroom being outside, not inside. I do want to say, when you go to the bathroom, you can't. You have to unlock the lock when you come out. Did you know that? Because if you close the door back, you can't get into the bathroom. So guys, somebody locked the guy's door when they came out. And so I tried to get in. I couldn't get in. I ended up using the ladies' bathroom. And so some of the ladies saw me coming out. I felt ashamed. But I thought, you know what? This is America. We can use any bathroom now. But make sure you unlock the lock when you come out before you close the door. And so I want to say to white Americans, you are the most hated species on this side of heaven. In South Africa, the blacks have taken over South Africa, and white people are being robbed, raped, murdered, killed, and their properties are being taken away from them without compensation. And if you don't wake up and start speaking up, This is going to happen here in America. It really got to happen. Even today, white people are under attack. They are already being raped. They're being murdered. They're being robbed. It's not in the media, so it doesn't seem like it's happening, but it is happening. If a white person did to a black person what black people are doing to white people, it would be all over the media, and it would be called white supremacists. It would be called racist. And that's because they're trying to intimidate you to keep you from standing up, all right? There is no such thing as, and I've been saying this for the last number of years, there's no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobia-ism, Islamophobia-ism, deadbeat-dad-ism, or anti-Semitism. It's either hate or love. It's either right or wrong, good or evil. It's a spiritual battle. I want you to realize that. And I want to say to the men that you have a responsibility given to you by God to first represent Him and then protect your wife and children. Because if you give in to this, and the men are really, white men are really under attack. I mean, you're not allowed to even look up. If you look at a black person, oh, why are you looking at me? You know what I'm saying? But that is because evil wants to destroy the white man, as they've done with the black man. If you notice, the average black man isn't worth a dime. He's afraid to get married and raise his children. He's afraid to protect his family. He's afraid to speak up. He doesn't deal with anything because Satan is his daddy, so he doesn't have the authority anymore inside to stand up for what is right. And realize, as they did prior to the civil rights movement, I never heard of racism when I was growing up. Racism wasn't even a word. It wasn't even a word. I just started hearing that after the civil rights movement started. It was, this is right and this is wrong. I remember as a kid, my grandparents wouldn't let us play with certain black kids if they were bad kids. They were like, no, you can't play with their kids. Their parents are no good. Stay away from that house. Stay away from those kids. They didn't call it racism, right? And so to the white men, you got to overcome fear, return to God, and love Him first. Because if you become afraid and don't protect your family, your country, it's over. The women need you to do it. They need you to cover them, to lead the way, and they will follow. And what I've noticed, except for James, what I notice is that the average white man is afraid. He's just like a woman. He's afraid. He's afraid to speak up. When they call him white supremacist, he give into that. He run rather than running toward the situation, deal with it. With God, with us, we're not supposed to run away from the issue. We're supposed to run toward it and deal with it. Because God is with us. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. But if you run, the more you run, the more you will have to run. If you notice, I mean, look how difficult it was to put on this event today. Because white people have been running. You got to stop running. If it wasn't for white people, there would be no America. There would be no America. The Indians would still be here smoking pot, living in the woods. Wearing feather hats and doing that blah, 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 blah thing, right? It wouldn't be no America. This is white folks' country, and yet you invite these people in and you allow them to intimidate you. That doesn't make sense to me. To me, you would have to say something is wrong. I need to put my friends out or something. When my family members come to my home to visit, I let them know in advance, you can only stay 2 weeks. You can't eat up all my food in the refrigerator. You can't do this. And after 2 weeks, and if they start acting weird before the 2 weeks are up, I'm like, you gotta go. I'm not gonna let you take over my home. And what white Americans have done is allow the people of color to take over the home. And now they have you on the run. And if these people were great people, how come they don't build their own country? How is it they come from the asshole countries and come to our country and destroy our country? Does that make sense? It's because the men are afraid. the white men are afraid, and they have convinced the people of color that somehow or another the people of color all in this together, and the white people are the enemies. It's the craziest thing I've ever, ever, ever seen. But I gotta say to the men, if you don't stand up and love what's right and stand up for your country, your family, and the Constitution, it's over. Because the same thing that has happened to the blacks will happen to you. They will take over, because once they destroy the man, it's easy to deceive the women and children and bring them into the fold as well. They did that to the black women. Look how crazy the black women are today. The man can't even handle her. She's so out of control. They made her feel that she's better than the man, that they don't need a man, because they give her free stuff, they pop up her ego, tell her how wonderful she is, and now the black women are going nuts. No wonder the black men are marrying white women and Japanese and Indians and Allahu Akbar's kids and whomever they can get, right? Because the black men are not real men. And white men, the reason that they are after you is because they know if they can weaken you and get you on the run, and that you're not standing up and fighting for your family, representing good, and fighting for the country, they got America. And once they completely take over America, they're gonna destroy it. It's not they're gonna make it better, they're gonna make it worse. I mean, if you doubt me, look at the inner cities, look at the urban areas, look what happens when the Democrats take over. Look at San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Sacramento and other places. Homelessness everywhere. We didn't have that when white people, white men were in charge. Do you remember that? And look at welfare. Everybody and their mama are relying on the government in one form or another. In the good old days, when boys were boys and men were men, they relied on the husband, they relied on the father, the mother, and the kids, or the neighbor, or the church. If you needed something, the church would help out. The government did not help out. Because once the government give you something, they own you. They own you. That's what happened to the blacks. When I was growing up, we were Republicans because we worked for ourselves, we thought for ourselves, we did for ourselves, right? So the government could not control us. And so only when they destroyed the man and then took over the women and children, gave them free stuff, that blacks became Democrats. And now they're hooked onto the Democratic Party, because once you give them something, it's like raising kids. If you don't raise them to work while growing up, they'll become 18 years old and stay home. They won't even leave home. And if you refuse to take care of them, they'll kill you. They'll hurt you, because that nature given by God has not developed, so that when they become of age, they can go out on their own and you don't have to worry about them, because you know that they'll take care of themselves. I even know men who are 18 years old, they're graduating from high school, and they're still living with mama. And then they're trying to date. How do you date being a man? What do you tell the girl? I live at a hotel or something? I would never let a woman know I live with mama and I'm trying to date. There are men 60 years old and living with mama. How many guys live with mama? Not here. Oh, not here. He's only 12. He should be at home with mama. You live at home with your mother? You live with your mama? Oh, amazing! Right. Amazing! But because you gotta start standing up. It's not about your color. And there's no such thing as white supremacists and all that crap. They just use that against you to put fear in you. I've been called every name in the book. I've been called Uncle Tom, Coon. I even won the Coon Award several times. I lost last year because Sheriff Clark, you know who he is, a black guy? He won the Coon Award last year. So I'm hoping to win it this year. I'm trying to beat out Sheriff Clark, right? And so, but I've been called Coon, Uncle Tom, the N-word. I've been called everything. You hate your mama, you hate your daddy, you hate your color, you hate yourself. They call me everything. I've been threatened with guns and all kinds of things. But I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Words doesn't move me. And because if they can control you with words and threats, you got to realize you have the children of God and you have the children of Satan. And the children of Satan have no power. They have no real power. That's why they have to intimidate you by calling you names, calling you racism, sexism, homophobiaism, white supremacism, and all kind of names. And if you give it to words, they got you. Because their house is built on sand. Our house is built on a solid foundation. And we need to stand, I'm telling you. And I want you to stop, when you, as whites and others, when you tell the truth about issues, stop saying, well, I'm not a racist, or I'm not a homophobic, or I'm, don't say that. It's like you're giving into what they want you to say. You're trying to prove that you're not a racist, or you're not a sexist, or you're not a homophobic, or whatever, right? Don't say it. Just speak the truth. Just speak the truth, and if they get mad and call you name, let them call you that. When you are born again of God, you overcome words. You overcome the world. You're in the world, but you're not of it. Yeah, you're separate. It's weird. It's like God put a protective bubble around you, and so you're in it, but you're not of it. And so you don't have to keep saying, well, I'm not a racist. I love black people. I love you. Don't say it. Just speak God's truth. And let them act out and say whatever they want to say. That's on them. I never say, when I speak about homosexuals and black people and white people, I don't say, well, I don't hate the gays, or I don't hate the this or that. I just tell the truth. And those who are seeking the truth, and those who know the truth, they see, well, wow, that's true. And they don't. So stop apologizing. Will you do that? Don't paraphrase before you tell the truth. Just be it. You gotta be it, you gotta say it. But stop. You can't serve two masters, right? So when you apologize for telling the truth, you're saying that, well, I'm serving God and I'm serving evil. That doesn't work like that. You're only of one. You're either of God or you're of evil, right? And a lot of people say, well, what about your color? Don't you care about being black? I can give 2 cents about being black. When I was in a fallen state, a son of Satan, I used to wake up every day thinking about being black. But once I was born again of God, I never think about being black. It's not an issue. I joke about being black. It's like if the light goes out right now, you won't see me. You just see white teeth. Well, you won't see me, right? But it's not about your color. It's not about the physical. It's about the spirit. It's about the God that you serve. And whether you're male or female, if you're on the side of good, you're going to know this. If you're on the side of evil, you can't see. You're in the world, of the world, being controlled by the world. Words and action of other people. You can't be that once you're born again. And I want to say to the young white males, I'm glad to see you guys here. And you got to overcome the world. You got to forgive. You must be born again. You must become sons of God. And once you become sons of God, it's going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. But you must be born again. Before you enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must forgive. Because if you have hatred in your heart, you can never enter into the kingdom of heaven within. The kingdom of heaven is in us and above. And so right now on earth, we have the opportunity to live from the kingdom, and it's perfect love. And in that kingdom, there is no fear. There is no doubt. There is no worry. There is no insecurity. God is our Father, and He will take care of us. But you cannot be on the run. It's not about the color. It's not about anything but spiritual, right or wrong, good versus evil. So I really want to encourage you to stop apologizing for being right, before being sons and daughters of God. And to the older white man, you have let your kids down by running rather than standing up. And as a result, you've given into the word racism. White people are so afraid of that word, they would not, it's like it paralyzes them. And I've been writing over the years for white Americans to start standing up. Speak up before it's too late. Because if you don't speak up, your children and their children and their children will suffer because you didn't stand up as a father and as a man and show them the right way to go. And now the white kids are suffering in these colleges, universities, and places like that. And that's why you have a lot of white young men committing suicide. they're being left out. They're being told that they're racist. White privilege. No such thing as white privilege. It's a false sense of guilt. That's right. But if the men had stood up and said no to that, the kids would be brave as well. That would not be happening in the school. And so to the young, older men, you need to apologize and start standing up for your kids, because kids become whatever the parents are. The parents are the living example of what the kids will become. So if you're afraid, then they're going to be afraid. And so these people, they'll push the young white males in the corner. They're telling them, you can't speak up, you can't do this. They're putting them last in education. They're letting the people of color who are not qualified come in. And if young white males stand up, they're called white supremacists. And then white males are not even allowed to defend themselves. They're not even allowed to be a part of the conversation to say, I'm not a white supremacist, I'm not a supremacist, right? And so they've been pushed in a corner, and a lot of the white males are getting angry. And I try to warn them, don't get angry. Speak up, but don't get angry, because once you become angry, you can't see the right way to go. Satan will cause you to overreact in the wrong way. And then those who push you in the corner, they got you. They'll say, look, why a mass shooting done by a white male? And they'll use that to take away your guns, take away your freedom of speech, take away your rights. So you got to start speaking up before you become angry and come out, because they're putting you in a trap. And if you carry it out, they're taking away your rights, and you're making it difficult for yourself. It's best to start speaking up and let them call you whatever they want. And just know that you can fight back. If you have a job, right, and someone says something to you that's wrong, and you need to speak up about it, speak up. And they try to take away your job, there are lawyers out there, you can fight for your job. But don't let the job be more important than what is right. Because they use material things to control you with. They take away your job. They try to destroy your name. They try to make you think that you're going to lose something. For me, loving what's right is more important than any material thing. It really is. I'm not going to be afraid to tell the truth because you may take away my job. You can have the job. God will give me another job. You know, or I'll start my own business. I'll do my own thing. He will make a way, but you got to have faith. And if you have anger, you don't have faith. If you have fear, you don't have faith. If you have doubt, if you have worry, if you put anything material before what is right, you don't have faith. You got to put what's right first. And I really want to warn the young white men, you got to start speaking up before you get angry, because these mass shootings, they had a mass shooting where a black guy in, I believe it was Philadelphia, I think. I heard about that one too, but this one happened in Philly. He shot six cops from a home. He was just out of a home. Remember that? And six cops, he was accused of shooting six cops. To me, that's a mass shooting. Well, because a black person did it, it wasn't called mass shooting. So I go on my show and I say, they had a mass shooting in Philly or wherever it was, and it was a black person shooting cops. And people got mad at me for calling it as a mass shooting because a black person did it. I guarantee you, had a white person did the exact same thing, it would be called a mass shooting. But white won't stand up and say, no, if black do it, why is a mass shooting? It's not a mass shooting. But if white doesn't do it, how come it's a mass shooting? You gotta start speaking up. There is good and there is evil. And we all know that. And we should not be afraid of evil. Just know that they do not have God on their side. So they only have intimidation. And if they can get you to give in to intimidation, they got you. We should not have to hide to have a rally. We should not have to hide to have a conference. We should not have to hide to do what we want to do. They don't hide. They call us everything they want to call us. They call the people on the side of good, racist, whatever, right? I don't care. Let them call you whatever they want. We call them names. Say, shut up, you're a hater. We can speak up, but we got to start before it's too late. because you're on the run. White people have to stop running. Because when they take over the government, look at Ilhan Omar and that crazy Otez woman, and Tlaib, and the other nutty black woman.
Yeah, Presley.
Those are not cases women. Those are not, we all know that they're nut cases. But no one says that they're on our side but me and James. I know, but we gotta say something though. We gotta say no, vote them out. They can't be in our government like that. And if they're gonna be in the government, we're gonna speak up against it. We're gonna speak about it. Those people hate America and they hate Israel. And the key words they use to keep you in control, they call them women of color. And when they say women of color, white people shut up. That's how they control you. Women of color. You know what I'm saying? They don't just say women, oh, these people are wrong. And they use the color thing because they know that white people are afraid when you hear the word color. Don't be afraid of that. Call these women out. They are wrong. They're haters. They hate America and they hate Israel and they hate what's right. Because once those women take over, because their plan is to finally become senators and presidents and all that kind of stuff. Once they take over, white folks, it's over for you. It really is. If you doubt me, talk to the folks from South Africa. White people are being destroyed in white Africa, in our Africa, and nobody cares. In South Africa, nobody cares. You don't hear it in the media. It's not primary news. But if it was happening the other way around, if white people were taking the land away from blacks in South Africa, if they were murdering, robbing, and raping, and doing it in front of the parents and all that, it would be all over the news. But because it's blacks doing it to whites, you don't hear anything about it. But so the same thing is going to happen here if you continue to be afraid. And any man that has fear is a beta male. Do we have any beta males here? He said no. We have all alpha males?
Yeah.
So we got to start. I'm so glad for what's happening here today. But we got to start. One step is better than no step. We got to start speaking up. Don't be afraid. If they try to take your job, if they try to whatever, fight back. And I tell men, men are under attack, period, because of who they represent, right? The order of life, but especially the white man. So I'm telling men, if you happen to be married to a liberal woman and she somehow or another physically attack you, you know how women call the police if you attack a woman, right? But if they attack you, men, call the police. Have them arrested. Leave them in jail. Don't bail them out. And you take care of the kids. Don't be like, oh, she's a woman. My poor wife. Your poor wife had you put in jail. When they start seeing men standing up and fighting back, these laws will start to change too. These laws are unfair. They're unfair to men. They're unfair to what is right. So we got to start fighting back. At Bond, we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. We've prayed for 29 years now. We've been bringing back God's order of God in Christ, Christ over man, man over woman, and woman over children. That's how I grew up. And that's what works. And women and children, they love that. We got to bring back that order. We tutor, we counsel, we have a home for young men. I started an entrepreneur program where we're teaching men ages 15 and up and older. We work with all men how to start businesses. And because a lot of these guys are so bright, they're real smart and talented. So we have them start businesses. I started a credit union so that I can loan them the money and those that don't have it, and they pay it back so we can keep the credit union going. And we work with all men. So in closing, I got to say, you need to know, you must be born again. You must be born again. Amen. Because when you're born again, you have no fear. You love what's right. You don't even judge, you don't even hate your enemy, but you don't go along with your enemy. You disagree with your enemy. You don't agree with them, just don't hate them. Because, you know, it's up to them, but don't hate them. That way you can overcome them, right? You can overcome them. But it's a spiritual battle. You must be born again. Men, you gotta wake up. You gotta stand up. We are at war. You can no longer run from words. This word ism, I just heard it was started back in 48, I believe. An ism, it was created to scare you, to control you, to put fear in you. And so they use the ism thing all the time in order to control you. It's just a word. It's just, as the fallen Messiah, Barack Obama, just words, just speeches. The worst president we always ever have, by the way. I call him the fallen Messiah. And I call Michelle, his wife, Big Mama Michelle. Big Mama. They were losers. They nearly destroyed America. And if those type of people take over our government completely, America is gone. And one last thing, thank God for the great white hope. The great white hope. So you all know who the great white hope is, huh? Donald Trump. 4 more years for Donald Trump, all right? We need 4 more years. 4 more years. 4 more years. And then if no other man rise up and run for president, I'll take over and run. So we got to keep America, we got to keep it right. We got to make America great, and we got to keep it great. America is the greatest country on this side of heaven. That's why everybody and their mama tried to come here. When we lose America, we can't afford to lose it. If we lose America, there's nowhere to go.
That's right.
Because everybody trying to come here, the illegal aliens, the blacks from Africa, everybody trying to come here. And as the president said the other day, we have no other choice but to give him 4 more years. So 4 more years for the great white hope, all right? Thank you all. So we got to stand up. Don't be afraid. And white men, stop running. Any white man that run, meaning you're afraid to speak up, you're afraid of name calling, you're a beta male, and Satan is your daddy. This is FYI.
Fear is of the devil.
And that's right. Fear is of the devil. So stop running. Stand up. And then they will see that you're not playing around. Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Peterson. You've been a great blessing to us. Fantastic blessing. So sure appreciate your thoughtfulness. And perhaps in our interactions later, we can actually come up for round number 2 of all the things you could say.